Spirits, 1941. Letitia Hanford. Plaster, a wooden table, and wooden chairs. Though Hanford completed this work in 1941, its genesis began several years earlier, during her fateful first encounter with Annabel Godfrey. It started as a professional meeting to discuss the commission that would become Listen, which you saw earlier on your tour of the estate. However, this eventually devolved into a night of raucous swapping of stories and copious amounts of alcohol consumed. According to both parties involved, the latter precluded them from recalling too many details about the former. "You know how it goes," Annabel would later say. "One nightcap became two, two became five, and before we knew it, it was tomorrow." But clarity returned, at least on Hanford's part, in the pre-dawn hours of darkness. This moment of lucidity is reflected here in her sculpture. Two life-sized feminine figures slump over the actual table that Hanford and Annabel sat at during their conversation. Annabel insisted on contributing it. As she told Hanford, "What's a table to me, darling? Use it how you will." Each figure holds an empty glass in her hand, and an empty liquor bottle rests beside them on the table. One of the two figures, Hanford herself, per her notes on the piece, lifts her head slightly, her brow furrowed, her unfocused gaze turned towards something behind her. And in this rendition of the moment, the something that captured her attention is far more obvious to us than it was to her that night. For looming behind both women is a spectral shape cloaked by a flowing robe with the hood drawn up. In fact, the robe itself forms the shape of the entity, as there is nothing but empty air within its folds of plaster. Hanford said of this figure, "Unlike most other things from that night, I recall this moment of waking with extreme precision. It was as if the fog of the alcohol had parted, and for a brief moment I could perceive the world more clearly than I ever had. I felt a presence with us in the room, one I could not see, but I was sure was just there, out of sight. Something powerful, and deliberately out of my grasp. Something within the night, watching and waiting. If my head had not been pounding with such enthusiastic ferocity, perhaps I would have strained harder to decipher what or who it was. It couldn't have been Jasmine, who, bless her, had brought us food and water at periodic intervals throughout the evening. She would have made her presence known. Whatever it was, wanted to remain in the shadows. Or rather, was the shadows. A ridiculous thought, to be sure, but still. It stuck with me, even into the creation of this piece. But of course, how do you render a shadow in sculpture? I am not fully satisfied with my solution of drape it in a cloak, but I think it's effective nevertheless. Every time I look on the completed sculpture, even though I know every intricacy of its construction, I still feel a slight shiver down my spine when I regard that ghostly, faceless being, as if it's still watching me, even now. Maybe it is. Shadows are everywhere, after all. And more so here, I've noted. A break from the galleries that seem to stretch on and on without end? Are you looking for something that might open up your mind and help you interpret the more inscrutable items in the estate's collection? Are you just in the mood for a drink? If you answered yes to any of those questions, and are of legal drinking age, consider trying out the famous mystery liquor on tap at the Godfrey Lounge. No one knows exactly where it comes from, for the tap in question does not connect to a keg, barrel, or any other storage container. It simply pours out of the faucet whenever the tap handle is pulled, originating from an as-yet-undetermined source. Also unknown is the exact makeup of the liquor, for it changes with every pour. Though rigorous testing has confirmed that the substance maintains a 100-proof alcohol content in every glass. Even its appearance changes from one pour to the next, ranging from standard colors like clear or amber to more outlandish ones like hot pink or a dark and swirling inky black. Please be advised that, if you choose to partake in this beverage, A signed liability waiver is required in addition to payment. That and an agreement to remain under supervision of the bar staff for a minimum of 1 hour after consuming the drink. There have been a few incidents involving patrons who wandered off, shall we say, while under the influence of this liquor, and we'd like to avoid any more. Entry from the Journal of Annabel Godfrey, 1941. Ink on paper. After much pleading on my part, Letitia finally agreed to show me her latest work today. She insists that it's not finished yet, that some final touches remain to be completed. Though, having now viewed the sculpture, I'd be hard-pressed to tell you where those last-minute adjustments might go. Ever the perfectionist, it's likely some subtle yet vital detail that will bring the whole thing together. Even more than the cohesion already present within it, I mean. She could have told me, "Look, it's done at last," and I would have asked her which gallery she wants it moved to. Note to self, remember to ask Tish and curatorial staff where to place the spirit's sculpture. But finally seeing the work for myself, I knew generally what the subject would be, the night that inspired it. And though my memory of the latter part of that evening is admittedly foggy, I thought I had a solid understanding of its trajectory and major events. I have Jasmine to thank for that level of clarity, as she rescued the pair of us fools from complete oblivion with offerings of water and food. But it is precisely because of that fact, that I do recall as much as I know, that makes Letitia's final, or almost final, creation so surprising. Not the two figures slumped in a stupor against the table, that I remember with unfortunate exactitude, but the one lurking behind them, cloaked in some kind of shroud. Its presence is less surprising than the fact that Letitia sensed it. That night was her first time on the estate grounds, and we were in my private quarters. Two details that I thought would shield her and anyone from outside attention. When I asked her about it, Tish half-jokingly referred to the figure as a more ominous version of that infamous green fairy, though we were not drinking absinthe that night. Does Irish whiskey produce some sort of cousin to that fae apparition? If it does, I have never encountered it, and I have had ample opportunity for it to appear to me. Did the liquor open up her perception wide enough to notice that presence? To see it in a form so unlike how I have experienced it? A physical form rather than a feeling, an innate knowing. Or perhaps everyone perceives them differently. Perhaps they reveal themselves to different people in different ways. All that talk of teeming multitudes, it makes sense that their form might shift on a whim, depending on who is looking. Why has this never occurred to me before? For all I know, maybe those stories of green fairies found at the bottom of a bottle have some root in this too. But I feel that I'm rambling now, engaging in wild speculation. And I really should consult with Letitia about where she'd like the sculpture displayed. Somewhere bright, I think. Away from creeping shadows.
Thank you for listening to the Godfrey Audio Guide. This episode was written, produced, and performed by Nicole Knutson, with sound design and editing by James Ferrero. It was produced on unceded Tongva and Chumash territory. Enjoying your trip to the estate? Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And consider telling a friend about us, or two, or three, or everyone you know. For information on episode transcripts, ways to support the show, and where to follow us online, please visit our website, thegodfreyaudioguide.com. Until next time, friends, see you back at the museum.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.